Welcome to History Through Art, Week 10, folks, in the American History Program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We're returning to our painting from last time, and I suspect we have a lot to say, so we're going to get straight to it. And we're not going to do a History Through Art today, a facts practice today, because I'd rather look at the art. And so let's go back to our art. And let's just review very briefly what we said about this painting last time, involving our main character, who's obviously wearing the flashiest outfit, and who has the white blouse underneath, or I don't know what we call that, a shirt, a tunic underneath his other outfit. And he's the one who's making a very dramatic gesture with regard to his sword and his flag, and his own eyesight is evidently focused on the sky. And so, just for a second, I have to apologize. I'm going to do two things. I'm going to turn off the chat, and I'm going to adjust the hand-raising function. I'm sorry, but I have to do that. So, let's see. Oh, right. Preferences. Okay, Sigourney, raise your hand again. Sigourney, please raise. Okay, thank you. Somehow the hand-raising was noisy again, and I had to turn that off, and what's the other thing? Just a second. All right. I'm going to have to get better at this, and I'm going to have to... All right. Okay, I'm sorry, but I have to insist that you don't get goofy on the chat. Some days I can handle it better than other days, but some days it really bothers me. And today happens to be one of those days. So please take great care in how you use the chat today. All right? That is just my request to you. Let's go back to the painting. And let's resume what we were doing. All right, what I wanted to show you today about the main character was, well, I don't know, let's see here. All right, I'm sorry. I'm just having to figure out. I'm having to regroup here a little bit. Give me a second. All right, let's resume looking at the painting. And we've already looked at the main character with his very dramatic gesture with the sword and with the flag and looking up to the sky, which we interpret in this particular scene. He's not looking at any object, so we're thinking that it's kind of a moment that he's personally experiencing and probably has to do, given that we're looking at a scene from European history, probably a moment where he's looking up to God. And so we have a very important moment for this particular man. He is surrounded by a number of other characters, and the artist has made it so that we understand that a certain group among them in the foreground and closely surrounding our main character are important. And so he's kind of invited us to look at them. And yesterday we looked, or last time rather, pardon me, we looked at a little boy just for one extra kind of thing to look at. We looked at a little boy who's looking out at us. And I promised you that I would give you another example of a character who's looking out of a history painting at us as an audience, and kind of give you a sense of what that's like when that happens. So let me show you a painting that has a character looking out at us from history. Here's another one. And this is a very dramatic example of a character looking out from a painting at the audience, essentially us, many thousands of years later. And this particular character obviously is super important, right? He's on a golden white super amazing chariot being pulled by an elephant, and he is looking out at us. And so this tells us in this particular painting that we have a very important history character who is aware that we know about him and that he is thinking about how we think about him. This one happens to be, FYI, Alexander the Great. And so he is a famous person. And the artist seems to be telling us that he knows that we're watching and that he's interested in the fact that we're watching. And so now as we move back to our painting over here, it's interesting that the artist included a character who's important, but not evidently super important, but an important character in the foreground who's looking out at us. And so he's kind of telling us that at least he is aware that this is important and that we are looking. I think that is kind of the general purpose of a character in a history painting looking out at us, is that the characters make contact with us and they tell us that the characters are aware of us. And in a way, it heightens the so what of the painting, right? It heightens our sense that somehow we are connected to what's going on in the painting. Because what's in the painting is looking out at us too. It knows that we're there in the future looking back. Very interesting. What would we be interested to look back at in a painting? So that is kind of the question. Not everybody in this painting is aware of anybody else or particularly aware whatsoever. For instance, if we look at the men in the silver armor, let's look at this guy in the center of our painting with the metallic armor. How would you describe him as a character in our painting? What do you make out about this person? And tell me what you see, rather, of course, is the main focus here. How do you get us started?
Looks like he's kind of just zoning out, not completely aware of what's happening or even how important this really is, and just standing there.
Well, he's standing on one leg with the other one kind of relaxed. I guess I got to zoom out a little bit more. A little bit relaxed pose with his hand twisted around a bit, resting on his hip, and he's not really participating in anything. He seems to be resting on his flag, and then looking down. Why is he looking down? Abby interprets that as being kind of zoning out, was the expression I think she used. But maybe there's a little bit more to it. So what do we see, Sigourney?
It looks like there's broccoli or a feather or something on the ground.
Okay, yeah. We're going to have to pay attention to this thing that he is looking down at. Okay? It's not so much that it's... So the question is, what is it? Right? So, that is our question. Can anybody identify this object? Patrick seems to be, eager to tell us. What is it?
Well, it looks like a hat from that guy in the red.
It's a hat. It is indeed a hat, right? There's that oval shape, and it's bunched down, and there's a feather attached to it. So there's a hat on the ground. And, well, how many characters are not wearing their hats? We might be able to see more than one, but I think it's pretty obvious whose hat this is, isn't it? So it's our main character's hat, evidently. He threw it down on the ground and then did this. So, all right, so this is kind of a dramatic moment. We've had a character lose his hat before, have his hat fall down on the ground, but we haven't had this hat didn't just fall on the ground. It was kind of thrown there, I think, unless anybody wants to argue differently here. And he's kind of looking down at it. And so, Abby, I agree with you that I think the most sensible interpretation of that is he's not really paying close attention to what's going on. This character becomes much less important because he's just looking down at the hat. All right, so he's just kind of a supporting character. And I think that what happens is the more that we look at the men around the main character, the more we start to feel the same way about all of them. In fact. So, for instance, if we were to look at this character here, a main character, very, very close to the middle, or part of the main group, what's he doing? Just kind of looking over to the side. He's got his finger up to his face, kind of fidgeting. He doesn't seem to be too interested in what's going on either. What about this main character in metal armor that some people suggested might be a main character also? He's got the puffy pants. But beyond that, and he's got a metal tunic of some sort. I don't know what you call that, breastplate or something like that it's called. And he's got a musket, which makes him look kind of impressive in a way. And he's got a feather cap hat. I just noticed that, too. And more than one of them seem to have that. But other than that, what's he doing? You know, other than shiny colors and... what's he doing, Abby?
He's just sitting there looking off.
Again, yeah, technically attention. Just standing there, right? Looking off, right? Looking off into the distance. And so actually, we have very few characters here who are really doing anything. They're not really interesting characters, are they? Let's go back to the full painting. Apart from our main character, they're just not very interesting characters. He's doing something. His gesture and posture are quite dramatic, whereas everybody else is just kind of standing around. They're not particularly interesting at all. So that's kind of an interesting thing. One thing, though, is that the characters that are in the background are actually more interesting than them. I hope you agree with me. I don't know. You can agree or disagree, of course. The characters in the background and on the sides are actually more interesting than the characters in the main group, to me anyway. So, I don't know if you agree with me, but you don't have to. But anyway, let's describe them. Let's take a closer look at them. All right, I'm trying to adjust my screen just a little bit here. Let me minimize that. Okay. So, Dana, what did you pick? Pick a group or an individual out there and let me know.
They look like the Indians, the ones that are next to the green tree.
Okay.
They look like they're scared. They're running for their lives.
Well, yeah, we have a mixed reaction, don't we? We have to be careful about saying one thing about all of them, and they're not having the same reaction. So they are depicted as naked. That's one thing for sure. They don't have any clothing. And, well, there's differences, isn't there? Like, for instance, what are these two guys doing here? What are these two characters doing? Not all their reactions are the same. Abby?
It looks like those two characters are standing behind the tree and hiding, but looking at them, and they're a little bit more interested than the other people who seem to just be running away.
Okay, good point. I like what you said there. They're hiding but looking out, so there's an interest. They want to see these other people. Okay, on the other hand, this guy over here and these two women over here really aren't interested. It looks like they've had a look, and they are facing away from us, and they are running now. Okay, so they are, evidently for them, they are afraid much more than they are interested. Another comment there, Abby?
It looks like the one last native is standing there like he's kind of either hiding himself from them or worshiping somebody.
Yeah, right. So this gesture would appear to be a gesture of worship, where you put your head down to the ground, and so that's kind of often a gesture of religious worship as well. All right, so a lot of mixed reactions over here. We have some people being shown over way in the distance, but we really can't make anything out about them. These guys are interested, these ones are afraid, and this person seems to be reacting kind of in the form of worshiping a god. Okay, very mixed reactions, aren't they? I mean, so let's do a similar thing with regard to our characters over on this side. Let me zoom in on them now. There's also quite some interesting reactions over here. So, what do you guys see over here in this group on the left? Some very dramatic gestures on the part of these characters. Sigourney, go ahead.
It looks like two women are trying to grab something, but it doesn't show in the painting.
Yeah. Now, so whether or not a character is a man or a woman is not always easy to tell, especially in history when men had long hair a lot and they might look differently and so on. All right, so we have two characters anyway. They're men, and they've got their swords, and they're reaching for something, very dramatically reaching for something, but more than reaching for something. Sigourney, I'm sorry if you said it and I didn't catch it, but isn't it more than reaching? Do you notice something else, Sigourney?
They're jumping forward.
Well, okay, leaping forward to reach, but look at this man in green's hand on the other person, and look at the man in red's hand on the man in green. Look at the way that they are touching each other, not just reaching forward. Kind of interesting. What are they trying to do, Patrick?
Well, they're trying to kind of, well, get something like a little competition.
Yeah, they're competing with each other, right? What they're pushing, this man is pushing that man's arm away, and this man is trying to shove that man back entirely. They're both reaching for something. So what could it be? Would be an interesting question. But as we can tell, they're very excited and they're reaching for something. And this man right here seems to be reaching down to the ground as well. So we have a number of characters who are reaching down to the ground. Quite strange. Okay, something else, Patrick?
Well, it may be that they're reaching for some sort of creature or something.
Well, okay, we can guess to our heart's content here. Unfortunately, it won't help because it's not shown. So it doesn't do us much good to guess. All if the artist wanted us to know that they are reaching for something in particular, he would have shown that thing. But he deliberately chose not to show anything. So we have to, yeah, we can kind of guess a little bit and that, but it doesn't really help because we don't know. All right, so let's talk about the other characters over here who have arrived in a tiny little, I don't know what you call it, a bark or something like that, right? Is that what it's called? A little boat. So, Rosetta, what do you see there?
I saw people, they look like
dancing.
Yeah, they look like they're celebrating. They're dancing. They're arm in arm, and their arms are thrown up in the air. It's like a celebration. Yeah, so this guy here is pulling in the boat. Some guys are doing their jobs, but these guys over here are looking pretty happy. It's a celebration. Huh, okay. So, arriving on shore for them, in this particular case, is not just any old arrival. It's an arrival that's worthy of a celebration. Okay. So, what arrival is it, then, is an important question. So now, if I go back and just pull in to this main painting here, are you trying to answer that more rhetorical question, Sigourney?
Yes, I think they discovered America.
Well, okay, yeah. I didn't think I could keep you from speculating about that, could I? In the context of American history, with our first lecture on Columbus coming on Monday. All right, but what I wanted to show you was, remember last time we were talking about this flag? So here was something interesting, and this is kind of fun. We've had two paintings with this symbol in it before. Now, not this one, but this one. Now, come on over here, and I'm going to remind you here of what this young boy has. Castles and... Patrick?
A symbol.
Well, a symbol of a lion in particular. They're all symbols.
Yes.
But castles and lions. Castles and lions. Okay. Now I'm going to take you over to this painting. And we're going to take a look at a character from the supporting cast that we didn't take a very close look at before. Aha! What do you see? Castles?
What?
In lions! Castles and lions! Oh my gosh, so these paintings all have something in common. And so what do they represent? Well, it's hard to know unless you've studied a lot of European history. So we know though, so we do know something here. We do know something. What scene is this? Let's remind ourselves of what scene this was from our previous history through art painting. What was happening in this moment? Abby?
The guy on the black horse was giving a key to the gates of the city to the guy in the red on the brown horse.
Yes, but I revealed to you something quite a bit more specific than that, did I not? Who are the king and queen? What is the moment exactly? What was the history moment? I think Henry or Wyatt might know it. Go ahead, guys.
This is Wyatt Hill.
Go ahead.
Well, these are the last place in Spain that was held by the Muslims.
Indeed. So this is the end of the Reconquista. This is Spain conquering back Iberia. So this has to do with Spain. In particular, it is the symbol of this queen. Not of the king, actually, of the queen. Because these symbols are castles and lions. And, well, if we were to quickly and easily be able to go back to our map, you might remember on the maps of Europe that before Spain became Spain, it was Castile and León. Well, that couldn't be much easier to connect to castle and lion. This Queen Isabella was the queen of Castile and León, which is Spanish. It's similar to French, evidently, but in this case, Spanish. So, Castile and León, castle and lion. who is now arriving somewhere and waving around the flag of Castle and Lion. That sure helps us to figure out who this guy is, right? So, yeah, we've already been guessing, but Castle and Lion is sure showing up in our symbols. And then I'm going to show you something else here. I don't even know if this was a real symbol, but look at this flag now in the middle of our screen. Evidently, a cross, which is the symbol of Christianity. But can anybody tell what the other two symbols are on this flag in the middle? Not easy to make out. And it sure helps if you know your history, because then you can kind of make an educated guess. Saguri?
There's a crown at the top.
Yeah, there's a crown on top of each letter. Absolutely. So I don't know how much closer we can get here. But yeah, great. Thank you, Sigourney. I'm glad we went in even closer. Look at that, a crown. And then another crown. And this is a letter. And what's this? Rosetta?
S.
And?
And I.
I think it's a Y. I was tempted to say I as well, because I expect Isabella to begin with an I, but it's quite possible that Isabella would begin with a Y, right? So it's one or the other. I think it's a Y. F, what was Isabella's husband's name again? Abby?
King Ferdinand.
Ferdinand and Isabella, the Christian kings. That's their flag, their combined flag. Obviously, right, we have Castile and Leon, which is Isabella's flag, is the most important. Because as it turns out, she was the one that gave Columbus permission. They were husband and wife, and because of them, Spain was now going to be one country. But technically, it wasn't quite yet. So this is not the flag of Spain, it's the flag of Castile and Leon. And Columbus is going on behalf of the Queen of Castile. Okay, so, well, yeah, so now it's hardly a mystery, is it? How come, for instance, back here, whoops, I'm going the wrong way. Back here, how many ships do we see? Not hard to answer, right? But does anybody know the names of the ships? Because there's only three of them, and they're quite famous. One of them was called the Niña. One of them was called the Pinta. And the other was called the Santa Maria. So, what expedition had three ships named the Niña, Pinta, and Santa Maria? Okay, so, the three famous ships of Christopher Columbus. So, it sure isn't hard for us to leap to this if we know some of the details of the information. What I find interesting about this painting, though, is the following. That we have a painting of the discovery of America. But what I like about this painting is it shows us a lot of different thoughts. And I think when we're going to finish up here over the next 5 minutes or so of getting our description with a title as well, one of the interesting things is, what does it say about Columbus? What does this painting say about Columbus? What does the painting say about the other people that were with him? And what does it say about the natives? So it's a work of art, and it has, you know, you've heard the saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, this picture has more than 1,000 words worth to say about what was it like and how important was it and what was going on when America was discovered. So that's what's so interesting about it to me. I've seen many paintings that discuss the history of America, and this one does it in a very specific way. So let's see here. I need to get a notepad out. Just a sec. Let me get that out. Yeah, where is my notepad? Why can't I find it? There it is. Okay. So let me start a notepad and let's go ahead and write up a description of this painting. So now we're going to describe it without guessing anybody's name or stating anybody's name. We're going to describe that which we are able to see, okay? And then we're going to, and then we can go from there. Okay, so we're going to say a leader looks up to God while holding a flag and a sword after arriving in a land with primitive natives. Well, that's already a lot. I decided to give you a lot at the beginning because I need your help to hone this, but we're going to run out of time if we're not careful. Okay, so help me out here. What have I not said? What is not quite good enough, let's say, about this version? I'm going to change the font a little bit smaller because we're going to run out of room. Okay, so help me out here. What else do we need to say? So, Jeremy, what would you like to add?
A good reader looks up to God while holding a flag and a sword after putting his hat on the ground.
Yeah, so now you wanted to add two things. You wanted to add the fact that he is, did you say a good leader? Is that in the painting? Yeah, it's. I don't know if we can add that. See, I don't know if the painting says that he's good or in any particular way even, right? Which might mean competent. It might mean he's a good person. We don't know, but I don't think we can add that. And I don't know if we have room to add the part about throwing the hat on the ground either. Because otherwise our sentence is going to get awfully long if we keep adding all the various details. And I'm not sure that one fits. So those were two good offerings, but I don't think we can have them. So Abby, what do you think we might have to add here?
A leader with disinterested followers looks up to God while arriving, holding a flag and a sword after arriving in a land with primitive natives.
No, some of his followers are disinterested, and some of his followers are not. So we won't be able to go with that either. Okay, good try, Dana.
Can we say that he discovered?
I don't think we can say discovered, because the painting, how can you say, how do you show the concept discover?
You because can say, they're amazed.
Because what?
Because they're amazed.
Well, they are amazed? No, I don't. I mean, yes, there are some people reaching down to the ground, but even that doesn't say discovery. So I don't think we can say this is a painting of discovery. We've seen a painting of discovery, right? Let me show you a painting of discovery. Here's a painting of discovery. A man turns around dramatically. His hat falls on the ground because he's seeing something for the first time. That's a painting of discovery. This is not a moment of discovery. This is a different moment. So this is a moment where they've already arrived. Discovery has happened. That moment has passed. So this is the moment of arrival. So what do we need to know about this arrival? Okay, what else do we need to know about the arrival, Abby?
A leader seems to look up to God to claim the land for him.
Well, yeah, okay, so, while holding a flag and a sword, okay, so, while holding up a flag and pointing a sword down to the ground, after arriving in a land with primitive natives. See, I'm going more descriptive there, Abby. Do you see the difference? You leaped all the way to claim, but the sentence should be a description of what we see. We might be able to go, I mean, we should start there at least. We always have to be careful not to leap to an interpretation unless we are absolutely certain that the interpretation is strengthened by observation. It's based on observation. So I'm going to stick with observation in my description. Okay? A leader looks up to God while holding up a flag and pointing a sword down to the ground after arriving in a land with primitive natives. So, can we go and do what you said, Abby? Can we say it's a claim? Maybe. I think we could do it in the title. And I don't think we have more time. So, we could go ahead and put it in the title. Claiming a new land. So, there Abby would be taking the description and interpreting it and putting that and saying, this is the meaning of the painting. The claiming of a new land. There's one possibility. Okay, so what would be another good title that you think might describe this painting? Patrick, you have a title?
I'm not sure, but Finding a New Land.
Well, okay, now, is it finding or is it claiming? See, Patrick is saying again, kind of finding, like Abby was saying earlier, discovering. This isn't finding anymore. They're already there. They're already there. The finding has already happened. So I don't think we should go with that. No, I don't think we should go with discover or find. Dana?
You just said that we shouldn't do it. The discovery.
Yeah, well, see, I'm not too keen on that one. All right, so I'm going to put it there anyway. But I could kind of go with that one in the sense that it's the land that has been discovered. But that's not what this painting shows. So if you give it that title, it's a mistake. Okay, this is not a painting of discovery. It's a painting of what somebody does after they have discovered. What do they do after they discover it? This tells us a lot. And we need to think about this, because the man that we are looking at here, Christopher Columbus, he's got his own personal manes in armor. And what do those kinds of people do when they go to new lands? Especially if all they find there is some really primitive naked people running around. Abby, go ahead. They're going to take it because they are, in their minds, the rightful owners. So we're going to have to think about that. And it's something that is a really interesting challenge. But this is a painting of claiming. So, in fact, I might change this and make it even more precise. Claiming the New World, which is pretty strong and it involves kind of a history, you know, a component to the title. But that's what it is. Okay, any other thoughts? Henry, Wyatt. Henry, Wyatt, go ahead. Okay, I don't know what happened to your sound there. So I'm going to go with another one here. I'm going to say, for God and country. You guys ever heard that expression? In other words, why is this happening? Who are these people and what are they doing? He's claiming a new land. He's looking up to God to say, I'm claiming this for you. And, of course, for my country. Patrick?
A new place?
A new place. Well, place is such a general word. Right? A new place. I'm not sure that it captures the idea of the discovery or exploration. Jeremy?
The natives' supplies.
Well, I don't think we can use that as the title either, Jeremy, because this painting is not about the natives. The natives are in a corner of the painting. They are telling us what kind of place this is, but the painting's not about them. So you wouldn't want to make a title. You wouldn't want to make a title, for instance, that's called The Gray Sky. Right? Would that be the right title for this painting? No, because that would be describing a part of the painting that's not the most important part. You wouldn't want to make a title for this painting that's called The Hat on the Ground. That would also not be bringing our attention to the right thing. So it's true that there's a lot of interesting and other separate things in the painting, but they don't belong in our title. Last one, Dana.
A new continent or country?
Well, yeah, we don't know anything about continents, so I don't think it's in the painting. So no, I'm going to say no again. This one's been tough, I can tell. That everybody's kind of struggling with this one, which is interesting. So I'll just see if I can figure out how to do a better job next time, because everybody's kind of leaping towards other things. And that may be just because it's a history painting. We know some history, and therefore we are tempted to have all kinds of thoughts that really do not fit in this particular painting. Interesting challenge to come up with a title that captures what the painting shows us as opposed to what we expect or what we think or what we connect the painting to. So that is the challenge. This painting shows us the claiming of a new land. Not anything else. Not anything else. Does it tell us whether or not the claiming of a new land was good or bad? Abby?
No, it doesn't.
It does not. No, it does not. And we can think about it and we can kind of have some thoughts about it, but the painting does not show us that. Does it tell us whether or not Columbus was a good person or not? No, it does not. Anthony, what did you want to say?
I have a new title.
Okay, go ahead.
Arrival, Celebration, Surprise.
That's kind of an enumerative title, which means you are describing different parts of the painting, but you're not combining them into a final statement that describes the whole. So the only way to do that is, I like Arrival. Arrival is not bad, okay? But more the claim upon the arrival is the key. We are way over time, folks. I must unceremoniously bid you a good weekend and goodbye. Bye for now. Have a good weekend.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.